You are Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network and FanRag Sports. What's up, everybody? How's it going? My name's Patrick Zajac, your host of Locked On Angels, minor league play-by-play broadcaster and first row rider of the emotional sports roller coaster that is Angels baseball. Welcome to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network and FanRag Sports. Thank you all for joining in. Another week, fourth week in total here, about to get rolling on Locked On Angels. Almost a month into this, getting closer and closer to opening day with each passing day, even closer by the hour now that we've got to spring forward over the weekend. Angels playing in some more Cactus Leagues games this past weekend. Get to see more of the regulars now as Mike Socia playing them on consecutive days as we've gotten further into this spring. Mike Trout hitting his first home run over the batter's eye in center field at Tempe Diablo. Justin Upton on Sunday hitting another home run. It's great to see Shohei Ohtani with another hit to at least quell some of the concerns. I hate that with all of the hype that surrounded Shohei Ohtani, we just expect this guy to be brilliant at everything right from the get-go. And I feel like more often than not, and I'm guilty of this too to an extent, but we all got to remind ourselves, this kid's only 23 years old. I mean, yeah, he's come with a lot of fanfare, a lot of hype, has great talent around him, but he's just a prospect, more or less. I mean, not in the sense that all these other guys, but again, 23 years of age, this is going to be his first year in Major League Baseball. Yes, the talent is absurd, almost unlike anything we've seen in our generation, at the very least, with the Babe Ruth comparisons. But man, let's just take a deep breath, relax, sit back. Let this kid develop. Let's see how he moves from start to start, appearance to appearance, because the stuff, especially on the mound, is phenomenal. The power's there at the plate. It's all a question of whether or not he can put it together. He's not perfect. Again, the dude's only 23. Let's enjoy him for what he is right now and what he could be down the line. Of course, the Angels got him for at least the next 6 years. It's going to be an awesome ride. In any case, continuing on our series, last week here on the show, we went over why the Angels will make the playoffs in 2018. This week, we'll get going on the pessimistic point of view, or maybe the realistic point of view for some of you guys out there. Why the Angels will not make the playoffs in 2018. We'll start that four-part series on Tuesday. The reason being, today, we got a very special guest on the show for you, Taylor Ward of 24/7 Sports, Angels reporter there, and a fantastic follow on Twitter. He is one of my go-to guys for Angels news. I feel like I've said that about a few guests that we've had on the show, but I mean, there's a reason why we're bringing them on the show, is because I myself truly value these guys and their insight and opinions on all things Angels and baseball related. But also, I know that they're big follows for any Angel fans, and we want to make this as community-oriented, fan-oriented, and interactive as possible, and I feel like we've done a pretty damn good job of that so far in the early goings, and we definitely plan on continuing that in the coming weeks, and especially through opening day and through the regular season right here on Locked On Angels. So we brought Taylor Ward on the show, chatted with him about his thoughts on the Angels this upcoming season. Talked a little bit about everything, his thoughts on the rotation and how Ohtani and Richards might look this year, the expectations for Albert Pujols with his new physique going on, how the back end of the bullpen might emerge through the spring. And of course, you know, I put him on the spot. I asked him, are the Angels going to make the playoffs? And you'll get that answer in that interview with Mr. Taylor Ward. But first, as we always do, got to remind you guys, if you have someone that might want to sponsor the show, you might want to sponsor the show, let me know. Hit us up, lockedonangels@gmail.com. Now even on Stitcher, and I promise on Google Play very soon. They were submitted on the same day, Stitcher and Google Play, to get on their podcast portals, their podcast podcast sites there. So it's only a matter of time. We're up on Stitcher, and of course on iTunes was the first. They were the first to believe in us. But Google Play, I promise, any time now. You guys just have to stay patient with us. I promise we'll be on there. Any case, you know someone that wants to sponsor the show or someone who might be interested, let me know. LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Rates are always reasonable, given that this is now week 4 of the show. In any case, let's get you right to it. Our sit-down interview with Mr. Taylor Ward, chatting 2018 Angels baseball. All right, welcome everybody to another interview special here on Locked On Angels. Today, we get the pleasure of Taylor Ward, Angels reporter for 24/7 Sports, and I'm sure most of you follow him on Twitter. A much requested guy for us to bring on this show, Taylor. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, no problem. It's nice to finally make this work.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to have you on. Let's get right down to it. Want to start off with a guy that I've pretty much started off every single guest with just to get their thoughts, because it's such a unique thing that the Angels got going on at camp. But Shohei Ohtani, now we've had a couple of looks at him, a couple of starts on the mound, albeit the last few not in Cactus League games. His most recent against the Tijuana team that played over in Tempe against the Angels. And now we got even some scouts saying that his bat is a little further behind than most. I don't know if I necessarily believe that after a couple spring at-bats. What are your kind of first thoughts and first impressions of Shohei Ohtani so far?
It's pretty much what I expected. I never bought into the bat. I knew he had the insane raw power. He's a 5 o'clock hitter to me, though. I don't know if he's ever going to eclipse being a 220, 230 hitter. That was my opinion from the moment I saw him in Japan to the moment I see him now. The contact just isn't there, and if you're not making enough contact, then it's going to be tough. But the power is real. And then pitching-wise, you know, he's just going through the spring jitters. The velocity or lack of, you know, premier velocity, it's not that deterrent for him, because that's where a lot of pitchers are, that guys that do throw as hard as he does. The stuff is there. He's just trying. It's a little bit touch and feel for command. So he's working the process. It's just getting him through that, you know, that part of it. But yeah, I never really thought of him as a hitter much. I thought he was going to be maybe 2-3 years and then finally be moved to the mound full time.
Yeah, one of the things I've even noted in past episodes is, you know, more or less he's going to be going 3 days or a couple of days at least between at bats or taking swings in the cage, which, you know, for a major league hitter, that's unheard of. You're swinging a bat hundreds and hundreds of times a day just to keep the same feel for things. So it's going to be interesting to see how Ohtani moves forward here. Moving on, another guy in the starting rotation that I think is sort of the key to this rotation in 2018, Garrett Richards. You know, he's been impressive so far in spring ball when he's healthy. He's been largely successful, but the biggest question has been health. Right now, he looks phenomenal. Fastball touching the high 90s, working on a new curveball, or at least using that curveball more often this spring. What have you liked from Garrett Richards so far, and what are your expectations for him this season?
Well, if Garrett's throwing strikes and he's healthy, then he is what we saw a couple years ago. In the starts that I've seen this spring, he's not overusing his slider, which was becoming a little bit of a problem. And the curveball gives him something else to work off of. He was kind of only a two-pitch guy. I loved when he was throwing the changeup. I think it was 2 years ago, right before he tore his ACL or UCL. And I loved the changeup, and I was so upset that he wasn't using it, but I understand as part of his arm action that, you know, pestered his elbow.
Right.
But the curve really, really adds on to his arsenal, gives him a complete arsenal to rework, and he's going to be able to work deeper into games, not just have that four or five inning limit to him. As long as he's throwing strikes, which he has been, man, he's going to be, you know, one of the premier pitchers of the AL West.
Yeah, absolutely. I've loved what I've seen from Garrett Richards so far, and I think a lot of us have forgotten, you know, the talent that he has because he hasn't been able to stay healthy. So looks to be playing the healthy role so far this season. Excited to see him back on a mound come opening night. Let's switch the focus to the bullpen now. and how the back end of the bullpen specifically is emerging. I know Blake Parker's been the favorite for the closer role to start off 2018, given how he finished 2017. Had a little up and down start to begin spring and settled down a little bit as of late. Are there any other guys that you factor into possibly getting some shots at the closer role for the Angels this season, or is this pretty much Blake Parker from the get-go?
No, I don't think anyone has this set or locked. I think that the Angels are adapting to the way new baseball thinking is going on instead of old baseball thinking, to where you use your best reliever in the highest highest leverage situation, whether that be in the fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth or ninth inning. I think Cam Bedrosian is a guy that has that capability. If you look at the numbers, Keenan Middleton, with the amount of guys that he leaves on base, maybe he's not your closer because you could use him in those situations because he's so good at it. But another guy that could be, valuable as that closer role, which I'm a firm believer in. And then Jim Johnson is another guy. Blake Wood is a possibility. It's kind of mix and match here because you have a lot of hard throwing guys with good arsenals. I think it's going to change regularly. I don't think there's going to be a 20 game saves pitcher on this Angels roster, but there might be five that have 10 or more saves.
Yeah, so kind of a closer by committee, or kind of seeing what sticks, and that new age thinking approach that you were just talking about that Mike Socha has sort of employed, especially over the last year or so. Albert Pujols, notable guy to follow in spring so far, given, he's been able to have an actual offseason that was full of training rather than just rehab from surgery, as was the case the past couple years. Now looks noticeably slimmer. Are you buying into the Albert Pujols hype that he can sort of at least regain some semblance of his former self during 2018?
Maybe not. For his former self, because that's, MVP, unanimous MVP honors kind of thing. if we're going back maybe 2-3 years where Albert had some value, obviously he's still a great defensive first baseman. So the more you have him at first, the better. I've always said that. It's just that his feet weren't allowing him. Slimming down, he could have used a couple pounds. I think he actually looks too slim for Albert style kind of thing. But the fact that his feet are under him, it's the most important thing of his game, because when you look at his power surge, it's all through the core and through the legs. So you look back at old video, his arms aren't really, he has a little bit robotic to the arms, but man, if his legs are under him, maybe you're looking at 30 home runs, and maybe, you're looking at other things. The most important thing that I've seen from him this spring is he isn't chasing pitches, which was a problem last year. He's not pressing, even though he was going for a hitless streak for a while. But there's no pressing, there's no anything else. And maybe the most important thing is it really looks like Albert is having fun on the field. I haven't seen him smile this much. And that, if Albert's having fun and he's got his legs under him, then yeah, maybe there's, a fair amount of value in him.
Yeah, that all goes back to this whole clubhouse culture that's been sort of a back-end story around this Angels team so far this spring and all throughout the offseason. I've talked about it with other guys and, bringing in Justin Upton into the fold. He's able to convince Ian Kinsler to waive his no-trade clause to accept a deal to the Angels. Zach Cozart coming on, and it's sort of the health of the rotation. All these things have sort of rejuvenated everyone in the clubhouse, and these guys truly seem like you said, that they're all having fun playing the game again, especially with these high expectations for the team this season, or at least expected to contend for a playoff spot. Want to shift now to sort of the back end guys on the 25-man roster and how some battles are playing out here this spring. Angels have already made a couple of moves over the last couple of days, sending guys down to their minor league camps and minor league affiliates, which we expect that to continue over the next couple of days. as we get closer to opening day. But let's start in the outfield. Chris Young, we haven't really seen him much in Tempe so far this spring given his injury. Reimer Liriano has had a good spring. Eric Young Jr. was thought to be the leading man for that fourth outfield spot before Chris Young came into the fold. Do you see this still as Chris Young's job to lose?
It's just so hard because he doesn't play center field. If he played center field, then I would say yes. I don't think it's anyone's job to lose. I think it's someone's job to win. I think that you had four to five guys that came in for that final spot, that fourth outfield spot coming into spring, and whoever, you know, put themselves in that fold really matters. The one thing that I've always said is opening day roster really isn't that important. It's what your closing day roster is. So when it comes to the position battles, it's important to start the year that way. But fourth outfield, it could be Chris Young. It could be EYJ. It could be Reimer Liriano. Jabari Blash is probably one of those guys that's out. Obviously, we've seen Michael Hermosillo reassigned to camp this morning. There's maybe three or four guys now instead of four to five. But, I would say one of the Youngs or Reimer Liriano is probably going to get that opening day bid.
Gotcha. And what about the infield? That's kind of more open competition, or at least in my estimation. Colin Walsh is a dark horse candidate to open up spring. Has had a good couple of weeks there in Tempe. You also got guys like Caleb Coward, who was with the team obviously last season, can play a little second and third. Jose Fernandez, a signee, a little low marquee signee this offseason. Where do you see and how do you see that final infield spot shaking out, given that we know Billy Epler and staff love flexibility on the infield and pretty much all across the diamond?
Flexibility is huge, and I hate to say this because I really think the guy deserves to be on this roster and not just on the bench, but getting regular at bats is Jose Fernandez. I mean, that guy he can hit the ball. I mean, he's always going to hit the ball. He's got such a nice and fluid swing, but he can only play second and third, and third is something new to him. So I just don't think it's him. Nolan Fontana, Colin Walsh, Caleb Coward. It's just kind of who's going to be the standout on defense and who's going to be able to show that they can play second, third, and shortstop, like you said, and play it at a high level. Flip a three-sided coin. Maybe Caleb. I think Colin Walsh has performed the best of the trio, but I think he's behind because he's not on the 40-man. So I would say it's closer with Nolan Fontana and Caleb Cower.
Awesome. All right. Final two questions for you, and they're sort of related. I want you to fill in the blank these statements for me. First off, the Angels will make the playoffs if?
If the Minnesota Twins and Boston Red Sox do not.
So are you saying that you see the Twins as kind of superior to the Angels as of right now?
No, I don't. But I'll tell you what, I was explaining this to one of my colleagues the other day. Is I said the American League is so weak as a whole right now. There's kind of two dominant powers between the Indians and the Astros. Then you can add the Yankees and Red Sox right there behind them. So that's your four spots for the playoffs. That fifth spot, there aren't that many teams that can really, jump into that playoff mix. I think what Minnesota has done with all these teams floundering, going, you call it tanking, you call it whatever you want. There's Toronto has a chance. You have Minnesota there. You have the Angels there, and you have the Mariners there. I think those are the only four teams that are going to be able to make some noise. And that's, pending health for everyone. Obviously, another team is going to emerge as a fifth wild card possibility. But, yeah, I think the Angels will make the playoffs if they're healthy. But I would be very afraid of the Twins coming up and sneaking in there.
Yeah, looking internally, and final question here for you. If the Angels miss the playoffs, it's because blank.
The Minnesota Twins. No, it would be health. It would absolutely be health. Health of rotation, health of lineup. And the Billy Epler has built depth to where it's not as detrimental as it would have been last season or the year before. But if you lose Shohei Ohtani or Garrett Richards in that rotation, you lose Andrew Heaney in that rotation, then it's a little different. You lose Mike Trout for another, month. It's going to be, obviously that's the best player on the planet. It's going to be a struggle. So yeah, health. And if they don't make the playoffs, it's, maybe another team was better. And that's something that is a possibility. But on paper right now, I would say the Angels are a playoff team.
Awesome. Well, good stuff as always, Taylor Ward. Thanks for joining us. Tell the folks real quick before I let you go where they can find you.
On Twitter, I'm at Taylor Blake Ward, all one word, kind of, even though it's three words. Check us out, InsideTheHalos.com, on CBS Scout and 24/7 Sports. And, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for your time, Taylor. Have a great day, man.
You too, buddy.
All right, see ya. All right, all right, all right. That was our interview, our chat with Taylor Ward, Angels reporter on 24/7 Sports. And guys, you got to follow him on Twitter for Angels-related news. He covers the Angels organization in such great detail. It makes guys like me informed to do a podcast about the team. Now, now only slightly kidding about that, but no, the man does great work. Awesome to have him on the show. He's already agreed to come back on the show sometime during the season, so we definitely plan on bringing him back, as well as most, if not all, of the guests. Well, at least try to, all the guests that we've had on this show. Those guests have been fantastic. Thank you all for coming on the show. You guys continue to have any other suggestions? Fire away on Twitter. Let us know who we should bring on at Locked On Angels. Part of the reason why we got Taylor on this show in the first place was a listener of ours listened in, thought it would be a good fit. We had no real way. I searched originally to try and get a hold of Taylor. Couldn't really find my way around, so I'm glad that we got in touch through Twitter. It does serve a purpose, actually. It's not just people yelling at each other, it turns out. But again, thank you to Taylor Ward. And I thought, going back to that conversation with him, I thought it was one of the interesting tidbits I took was his thoughts on Jose Fernandez possibly getting that final bench spot, in that the way that he can handle the bat, the defense isn't quite there and he can only play second and third, but an intriguing option. I think it might be coming down to him or Colin Walsh. I mean, obviously Caleb Coward is still in there in the conversation for that final bench spot, but man, Jose Fernandez, an intriguing option because of that bat off the bench. Defensively might not be there, but he can provide some nice some offensive punch coming off the bench, which I think obviously the Angels are going to be lacking in a little bit, given that most likely going to break camp with 13 pitchers. We'll see ultimately what happens. But a name that we've tossed around on the show, but not in great detail. So I thought it was awesome that Taylor brought up Jose Fernandez as a guy to continue to keep an eye on for that final bench spot. And before I let you guys go, Jeff Fletcher over the weekend, maybe this will be part of our best of the weekend here since we didn't really get to that with that, since we had the chat with Taylor to start your week on a Monday here, March 12th. But Jeff Fletcher put out a great tweet over the weekend about, during JC Ramirez's start, and he had a great outing against the Rangers on Sunday, going over four innings, giving up just one run. But he put out the Angels expected six guys in the rotation, and that's Garrett Richards, Shohei Ohtani, Tyler Skaggs, Andrew Heaney, J.C. Ramirez, and Matt Shoemaker, and put them in order based on how you thought they would perform. And I thought it was a very interesting question. Saw the responses to his tweet, thought they were awesome. I myself thought I would put it out there. Garrett Richards, I think he is going to go back to his 2014 form. Question is health, but the stuff certainly there this spring. I expect it to continue to be so during the season. He emerges as the true ace of this squad, and I think pitches himself into a nice extension with the team during the offseason, right when that ends. Shohei Ohtani, I expect to slot in as the number two guy. He certainly, the talent is unquestioned, and I think he can play a nice sidekick role to Garrett Richards, where obviously the focus will be on him and every single start that he has. But
God, that luxury that he'll be able to have with Richards kind of taking the reins, he won't be needed to be that ace for the team. And maybe ultimately grows into a 1A, 1B situation with Richards and Ohtani. But just pure stuff, I expect Ohtani to be very successful in his first go-round, especially on the mound. Three, I put Tyler Skaggs in there as I think that he's going to be the third best pitcher in the rotation. I think his stuff is better than the rest of the guys. The talent certainly is there. Whether or not he has the makeup and consistency to do so, he hasn't shown that yet. This is a very big year for Tyler Skaggs. Since he had, you know, kind of that oblique injury. One thing in our conversation with Jeff Fletcher that he noted is, you know, Tyler Skaggs didn't have an arm injury like a lot of these other guys in the Angels rotation, as Garrett Richards and Andrew Heaney, JC Ramirez. Tyler Skaggs had an oblique injury. So maybe, I'm not saying that's easier to come back from, but non-injury to your arm. I mean, that maybe helps as far as keeping your stuff consistent, being able to pitch on a, you know, every 4 or 5 day basis. I think I'm expecting big things from Tyler Skaggs and Andrew Heaney, who I have slotted just behind him as number four. The stuff was certainly there before the injury. We'll see how he bounces back. 2017 was a little rough for him. I didn't expect to see Andrew Heaney in 2017. So the fact that he pitched in competitive ball games was good enough for me. We'll see how he bounces back now, fully healthy for a full season. And Matt Shoemaker, I put slightly ahead of JC Ramirez, though I would not be surprised to see JC Ramirez emerge ahead of Matt Shoemaker, simply because his stuff is better. Matt Shoemaker's, you know, if his splitter's not on, he has struggled in the past. So we'll see again how that adds up. Matt Shoemaker has just withstood the test of time, in my estimation. I did not feel that his career would be as long as it already has been. So kudos to him. It's a joy to watch him pitch when that splitter is moving, that split finger is diving and getting a good drop on it. It's awesome to watch him pitch, to see that drop in that pitch and fool hitters the way he does. So a lot of promise in the rotation. I just wanted to finish the show on that note because I thought it was an awesome, awesome tweet put out by Jeff Fletcher and a good talking point for all of us fans. To spark the conversation, things get a little stale during the spring. That's why we bring you this show and make it as collaborative as possible, sharing our opinions and thoughts. Well, guys, that's going to do it for today's show. For tomorrow's episode, we'll delve into that part one on why the Angels will not make the playoffs. And of course, Tuesday, down on the Farm Report, we'll update you guys on the Angels prospects in camp. Some of them moving down to the minors. We'll kind of do a quick recap there. Guys like Michael Hermosillo and Eduardo Paredes were sent down to minor league camp. So we'll update you on all of that and tell you how guys like Matt Theis are doing and all those top prospects with the big league squad still in Tempe. But as for me, I'm Patrick Zajac. You can find me on Twitter at OtherPatZajac. Most importantly, be sure to follow our Twitter page at LockedOnAngels. That's where you'll get all updates regarding the show. Our website, LockedOnAngels.com, which is a part of FanRag Sports. Questions, comments, anything. Message us on Twitter, LockedOnAngels, or email us, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Yep, we're up on Stitcher. Should be up on Google Play, I promise. Any moment, I promise. Have a great Monday, guys. Get off to a great start this week. Peace.